Are you an Allegedly fan? Want to come to a live recording of our podcast? Well, now's your chance. Come meet Theo, myself, and our huge, extra special guest as we record a live episode of Allegedly at the Entertainment Weekly Pop Festival. It's on Saturday, October 29th at 4:30 p.m. at The Reef in downtown Los Angeles. Go to ewpopfest.com and get your ticket now. Come laugh with us or at us, either or. That's ewpopfest.com.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Allegedly. It's Matthew Kohlweiss with special guest host
Kelly.
Kelly Berning from TMZ. You might recognize the voice.
I don't know if you'll recognize the voice.
Maybe.
You might recognize the low-cut shirt.
She is the low-cut shirt.
I usually always wear
She also sits down. You're one of the few people who sits during the meeting, and many people thought you were handicapped
and
for
a
long time.
Because
you
were
handicapable. Because you were sitting, but she is not handicapped. She's capable. I guess that's what it would be.
Capable. But sitting in the low seat that didn't have wheels and people still thought I was in a wheelchair. It's like, no. And they'd meet me and they'd be like, oh my God, you can walk? Like it was a character element.
I hear the same
I'm
thing.
I'm like, no. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. You never
seated.
Stand either.
No.
I guess we never see you except when you were with a door kind of like.
Outside
was the only time we've seen you really.
First of all, you haven't told people who I am.
Oh, by the way, we are here with the one and only Michelle Visage.
Hi.
One of the judges on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes. Big fans. We're both big fans.
Huge fans. And we got you on finale night.
Yes.
Which is crazy, which I didn't even realize, which thank you very much for coming
tonight
on finale night.
Tonight is the night.
Tonight is the night. Yeah. By the time, when this airs on Tuesday, we will all have known, so you can just tell me, by the way.
I'm Team Alaska.
Are you? Mm-hmm. I actually don't know. People that go to the taping know that the way we do it, because this is not being shady. This is a fact. Season 3 was the first season that I started, and Perez Hilton leaked the winner and ruined the entire thing for everybody.
That sucks.
And I actually, when I did Celebrity Big Brother with him almost two years ago, and when I went in, I told him that was what upset me the most, because I felt like him being part of the community knows how long it took and how important it is to have a show like this on television.
Right.
And then to go and kind of take it away from everybody felt really selfish for me. Yeah. I'm not saying I hate him or he's a dick, but doing that was like really uncool.
Well, he just got into it with Angelina Jolie, didn't he?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because of the,
mm-hmm.
well,
the
I'll
lawyer.
Say it. He's
but anyway, let's
dick.
Go back. So let's rewind. You can say it.
So, yeah, I'll say
so
it.
So the point is, RuPaul had a dream after season 3, after that happened. And the dream was to tape 3 different endings. And nobody knows except for the producers and Logo who's going to win. So we film 3 different endings with our finalists.
Wait, all the contestants thought they were winners because they were shot as winners for each?
No, they just have to act. They're actors after all. They're drag queens. So we say, all right, this is your moment to win your Emmy. Act like you're winning.
That's kind of cool, actually.
And then what airs is going to be their genuine reaction, or it's going to be a really shitty reenaction.
Wow.
So I didn't know that.
That's how we do it. And to be honest, I don't know who's going to win. So the only people who know are Rue, World of Wonder, the production company, and Logo. So we'd shoot 3 different endings every time.
That's crazy.
That's like a movie when they talk about movies or the end of series and stuff.
The endings, because in this way, nobody can shit on our parade. Like nobody can ruin anything because nobody knows.
This is some real tea.
Yeah. I know.
This is some real tea.
So I don't know who the
winner
is.
So you don't know, are you rooting for someone specific?
I'm not rooting for anybody specific because I've watched all of these girls, all of them, even Adore, you know, come from where they were to where they are now, which is why I was so extra tough this season of All Stars, because it's All Stars 2.
Right.
And I've seen all these girls since they've done their seasons, and I've seen how they've grown. And it's not, you don't have to grow. You can be who you are when you left the show, when you came on the show, and that's fine. But you're on All Stars 2, so if these other people up their game, you're going to have to up your game. Mm-hmm. So I know how they've all upped their game. So there was definitely a level of expectancy from me.
Yeah.
And if you fell short, I was going to let you know, because I tour with these girls. I see what they're like out there.
Oh, that's right, because you go on the tour with them all around the country.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's that.
That's that. Well, I'm going to tell the listeners how we got Michelle Visage on the show, which was I was drunk at an HBO party. She walked by me and I went, and she kind of looked at me like, oh, hi. And I just didn't know what to say. And this was like, I had taken my brother to the party. He already bailed. So I was by myself. I was drunk and by myself.
That's brave of you, because that HBO Emmy party was humongous.
Oh, humongous. But I had a lot to drink that night.
Easily done. And they had like a full, you could have eaten, they could have fed every small nation.
The HBO parties really go for it.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like I was in awe at these parties because Rue brought me everywhere and I'd never been to the Emmys or to the Emmy party. So I was just like a kid in a candy store.
Oh, because she won an Emmy.
Yes, sure did.
So I tweeted her and said, or tweeted along the lines, like I made such a fool out of myself. And she said, why didn't you say hello? And I was like, come on to the podcast. So here we have Michelle Visage.
Tell me about it the next morning.
I'm very easy. Just compliment me and I'm yours.
I was just talking about how much, before you got in here, how much I do like your, I'm gay, but I love your boobs.
Thank you. I do love your boobs.
Yeah. There's always a nice cleavage shot. You like the deep Vs. I'm a fan of them as well.
Yeah.
As you can see, I pull apart.
Oh yeah, you have good boobs too.
I do, but you know, I'm getting older. I feel like I need a little lift action.
Well, mine are fake, so that's why they're really good. Oh. But they're good. They're really well done. And when they're well done, they don't look.
There they are. I just saw them in person.
Yeah, there they are.
I love how Matt literally was like, what?
Oh,
okay.
Hey. But the Be careful what you wish for.
With gay men and boobs, it's a mother connection. It is. It's not sexual. It's a mother connection. And I think that it's a comforting thing for gay men, I find. So when I have more, 99.9% gay men love my boobs versus straight men. I say that to my husband.
I feel like I have that experience too.
And that's what happens. And my husband, I said to my husband, I feel like, am I not hot anymore? He's like, honey, when's the last time you've been around a straight man besides me? So truth be told, I wouldn't know if I still got the mojo anymore.
So you're saying that I want you to nurse me.
In a different way.
Okay.
It's not a sexual thing about my boobs, is it?
No, probably not.
Right.
No.
So it's more
of a fascination.
I wouldn't know what to do with them, to be honest.
Right, and it's a comfort because of whatever the relationship was with your mother or, you know, if you think about it, you came from that. So, you know, whether you have a good relationship with your mother or not, it's kind of a really back to nature thing. It's really primal.
Wow.
So that's kind of where I sit with it. And I think it's amazing that they love my boobs. And these boobs have nursed an entire gay community. I'm very proud of them.
Vaginas are another story.
Oh, yeah, let's not even go there. All right,
that's a no-go zone, honey.
Michelle, I explained to you our format real quick. So let's just jump in around one, which was Theo. You're not Theo.
No.
Kelly and I each. We each have a couple minutes to tell a quick story about something, and you get to judge and tell us whose stories you like better.
Okay, go.
Do you want to go first, or do you
want to go first because I gotta get it out.
All right, go get it out.
This is an oldie but a goodie.
Okay.
So when I was younger, I didn't have a lot of money. I worked at a store at the airport, and if you've ever worked in the airport, such an Cincinnati. I'm from rural Kentucky. Cincinnati Airport, actually in northern Kentucky.
Okay.
So I'm in rural Kentucky at the airport, and we work and we sell like nudie mags, but they're like Hustler and like they're nothing too bad, although it was like barely legals or whatever.
Hustler was pretty bad.
Was it?
Hustler was really wrong.
Oh my God. Don't ask me. I've seen some fucked up shit.
I love a Hustler. Don't get me wrong. But when I got my tits done, sidebar, and then you continue, I told Dr. Ray, Dr. 90210.
Oh, really?
He did
it from
Dr. Ray. He did before he was on the TV show.
Wow.
He was just starting when I got mine. Wow. And I went in with who was my program director at a radio station I was on here in Los Angeles. We got ours done on the same day.
Oh.
We went in to meet with him. I said I wanted mine over the muscle. And almost every doctor would always tell you to do under the muscle.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That gives you the Pamela Anderson round thing. And I said, I don't want that. I said, I don't want Playboy. I want Hustler. And he said to my friend, she's like, what does that mean? I said, I want him hangy and like gritty.
Yeah.
And like says, raw.
Yeah, like nasty.
Like that's what I wanted him.
Excuse me, guys, while I go throw up in the other room.
That's a Hustler was nasty. All right, carry on, Kelly.
So we're selling these nudie mags and these guys would come up and it would be so funny because they would hide them in the Time magazine and stuff. They
are you of age, by the way? Like, are you, yeah, you're
I
over
was,
18?
I was over 18. I was under 21. So they would hide them in the Time magazines or whatever. But the ones we didn't sell, we'd have to rip the covers off because you would get a certain amount back. I don't know the business aspect. So I started stockpiling all the coverless nudie mags in the back so my friends and I could have a dirty fucking magazine party at this house in Chicago. So I literally had trash bags.
You went from Cincinnati to Kentucky to Chicago all in one conversation.
Oh, I went I was Cincinnati Airport in Kentucky from Northern Kentucky. Best friend lived in Chicago. We'd go to see him on the weekends. It was like a 6.5-hour drive.
Got it. Go.
So I put all of my bagged up nudie mags in the back of my friend's car and we drove up. I probably had like 6 trash bags full of them.
That's insane. Whoa.
So we went to his house. We took out every nude photo and plastered his entire, like on the floor, on the ceiling, all over his entire house because we were having this dirty fucking mag party.
Right.
Wow.
So we ordered pizza, knew we didn't have any money.
Did he live alone?
No, he had a roommate.
Is this a gay man?
Yes, this is a gay man. And so we ordered pizza. We knew we didn't have any money, but we just took a roll, like a roll of the dice, like a gamble to see if we could pay this guy in porn. Like he'd open the door and we'd be like, look, you can all the porn you want. I got more where that's from.
Welcome to the kingdom.
Welcome to the kingdom.
Being that guy.
He shows up, but the joke was going to be on him because we'd ripped out all the nudie pictures from the magazine. So what we were giving him was the remnants, was the articles
the bones.
In the nudie mag.
Wow.
So the dude showed up and he's like, he's Mexican, he doesn't speak any English. And he's like, you know, Hannah, he like looked around the room like, what the fuck yeah. are you guys that. Doing
Tony
here?
Perkins, like, I'm going to
yeah. He was just basically like, I don't want to get too close to the entrance way because you'll snatch my ass up.
Yeah.
So he gives us the pizza and we're like, we don't have any, no money or whatever, no dinero. And we're like, but we have porn. And we showed him, we're like showing like magazines and porn. We gave him a trash bag full of porn. He went, thank you. And then left. I was like, we got all the pizza. And then when he got to his car, you know, he was like, oh, what has happened to my porn?
Wow. Okay.
So oh, after he saw the empty porn.
Yeah.
All the nudie mags were, all the pictures were
you
ripped
You gutted the pictures because you put them on the wall.
I put it all on the ceiling and the wall and whatever. That was a great party. Hired some strippers. It was really.
I wish I was there.
Good.
How did you afford to hire the strippers?
No, well, because my friend knew a bunch of strippers, so they were coming over and working for tips. I'm like, good luck with that, friend.
The tips are going to pull pages off the wall.
Yeah, they were going to get tips, all right. Tips of something maybe they didn't want.
Yeah, exactly.
So now we know how
just
you have
the
fun.
Tips.
What
just
you,
the
how tips. You have fun in Chicago.
In Chicago, Kentucky, and Cincinnati. Yeah.
Via the Cincinnati airport. Yes. The nudie mags not bought at the Cincinnati airport.
All right.
I love that.
All right, my turn. We kind of talked about, I got my start in journalism as well, and I worked for Us Weekly Magazine, and I covered
I like how you
premieres.
Just called it journalism.
I know.
Carry on.
And I've since worked for other ones, but I'd
I
cover,
like weeklies.
Yeah. I'd cover premieres. So it was, I was in college covering movie premieres.
That's kind of a big get, isn't it?
It was freaking awesome.
Where'd you go to college?
I went to NYU.
Okay. And you did the carpets, right?
And I did the carpets.
Did you
but
to
then
Tish?
You get to go to parties and stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
I get to go. But I was like, I honestly had to get a fake ID because I wasn't even allowed, like the magazine helped me get a fake ID because I wasn't even allowed to go into the parties because I was 19, Philadelphia.
Okay.
And so one of the first ones I covered was
actually Philadelphia or like
suburbs,
Cherry Hill.
Bucks County.
Got it.
So one of the first premieres I covered was Charlie's Angels. Okay.
Oh, the Demi Moore.
Cameron Diaz,
Lucy Liu.
Yes. And it was one of my first, and it was really exciting. I sat right behind Drew Barrymore, and it was really, really cool. And I was by myself. I didn't know what a plus one was at that time, for sure. So I was by myself. The party was at Cipriani's, I think it was called, this huge thing.
Major restaurant.
And they had me in the VIP area, right? And so I'm in the VIP.
How old are you?
I'm 19.
Okay.
I'm feeling like $1 million. P. Diddy's there and like Cameron Diaz is there. And so I'm standing there and I'm not talking to anybody. I'm by myself. And then I'm looking over at Cameron Diaz and she's kind of like just looking at me. And I was like,
Is she checking you out?
I wasn't sure what the hell was going on. But a little part of me thought, maybe she's
you're
checking
like,
me
whatever,
out.
Whatever, I look good, bitch.
There's a little part of me. And so I was like, wow, this
Cameron
is like...
Cameron D and Destiny.
This is really cool, like, whatever. And so then about 2 minutes later, and she's still kind of looking at me, someone taps me on the shoulder, and I turn around, and there's this huge bodyguard, and he goes, you got to get out of here. And I was like, what? And he's like, Cameron doesn't want you here.
What?
And I was like, what? I was like, and I kind of like threw a little bitch tantrum. I was like, I'm allowed to be here. Like, you get someone from Columbia Pictures.
Cute. You thought that Cameron was it. You thought you were going to be Cameron in that game.
And they were like, no, you're out of here. And I was like, no, I'm supposed to be here. So they physically lifted me up, carried me outside. Literally, like you see those things, like bums rush, like the doors open, they toss you out and they shut the door. They literally opened the door, threw me out, and they said, sorry, you're not allowed here. And I was embarrassed, upset. But then do you remember there was a show on Real World, there was a guy named Eric Nies back in the
Eric
day.
Nies,
now he's a big hippie, right?
Yeah, host of The Grind.
Mm-hmm.
Hot.
Very hot.
Especially back then.
Yeah.
He was there outside just like
smoking
with his friends. And I had met him really briefly and he's like, oh, what happened? And I was like, Cameron Diaz threw me out, that bitch. he's like, fuck it, let's go get drunk. And so I ended up hanging out with Eric Nies
like
for the entire night. We got in a cab with him and his buddy and we went and we got drunk and we got high and it was like a great night.
Oh, Cameron Diaz did you a huge favor, by the way.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah, by getting you tossed out. You had a much better night.
I know.
You would have sat there by yourself.
With Eric Neese.
No, I'd much rather hang out with Eric Neese and getting drunk and high than stand there with Cameron Diaz and all these people that are never going to talk to me.
Yeah, I'll tell you, over the years, and I've been doing this for 15 years, there's two women who have always been bitches to me.
Ooh.
Cameron Diaz and Claire Danes.
Do you understand why people are bitches, celebrities? Because I haven't figured out why.
No, because you don't. What bothers me is you don't have to be that
way. That's
what
I mean. When does it, like, because I'll go on the record here by saying that I've known a lot of people and I've seen a lot of people rise, and even some of the girls on the show have changed.
Yeah.
And
it changes a lot of people.
For the better. And I think my theory is it usually happens to the people that have nothing and go up really quickly.
Right.
Now, the people that have nothing and have worked and grafted and just worked their asses off, and it's really been a slow process, tend to stay grounded, because each step of the way, not only is there graciousness and humility, it's you have to work harder and harder.
And they
have
to go through the journey as opposed to just going boom.
So when it happens overnight, especially to reality people, there's a change that you actually can't control it. And I feel like they have to really bottom out before they realize.
They have to be humbled pretty quickly.
Yes, but it doesn't always happen. Yeah. And now there's a graveyard of reality stars out there that are not working, and they're working now waiting tables or working
Saddle
in Target.
Ranch or something.
Yeah, whatever it is. And I'm not judging, but I'm saying it's a wake-up call.
Yeah.
And hopefully they learn from that it's better to treat people nice along the way, even if you go from 0 to 100 in 2 seconds flat, because as fast as you go there is as fast as you're going to fall.
Right. And you never knew who you're going to need in the future. That's the thing. People be rude to other people, and I'm like, you don't know who that person is, quite frankly.
And 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get a second chance. Some people are lucky. I was lucky. Some people are lucky to get a second chance. Most people are not lucky to get a second chance. So they're just going to be out there. And then there's the ones that had it when they were very young, don't have the success anymore, but still have the name. Mm-hmm. And that's another even weirder phenomenon, because then they still act like it's 1982.
Right.
But it's not
like a Corey Feldman kind of thing.
Yeah. But I kind of dig Corey Feldman in his way. I know he's out there, but at least he's living his truth in his bizarre way of living it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that he stood up to bullies and that he's not look, he's a fucking weirdo.
Right.
Yeah. But that's okay. Those are the people that I connect with, you know?
Absolutely.
But I'm talking more of people that, like, you know, they had success and they haven't been able to let it go.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And they still think they're the belle of the ball.
Yeah, and for Cameron Diaz, who has been so successful, it upsets me that you had
her. I've had several with her since.
That's so sad.
She's one of the few people I will throw the C word around when I...
And I've never met her, but I don't understand the point.
She's never been nice to me. And I'm not like, I'm a nice guy, and it's not like I'm saying like, show me your tits.
Even
or
in
like,
the capacity of you being on the red carpet asking her fluff questions?
Yeah, fluff questions.
I've had people, I worked for VH1 doing that, and I've had people do the same thing. They just don't want to talk to you.
I did the Gangs of New York premiere too, and she was in that. And she literally saw me, maybe it was the magazine, whatever, and literally spun around so that I had her back and then went to the person next to me.
What the fuck? What does she have against you personally?
Some people just do, and you'll never know why, and it doesn't really matter because it's her issue,
Pamela
not yours.
Anderson doesn't like me either. And that's a personal thing.
That's weird, because she seems kind of friendly, to be honest.
She's a sweetheart.
She gets
I know, but she
gets weirded out by me. I don't know what it is. Maybe
you should
nervous.
Stop being a creeper.
I know. You're just creeping up.
All right, anyway, so that's the end of round one. Miss Massage,
you're gonna fucking win because you have like celebrities and shit. Mine's some shitty apartment in like Chicago, Rogers Park.
Scott Eastwood just blocked me on Twitter. Anyway,
is that Clint's son?
Yeah,
yeah. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Well, he's a pretty boy.
He is gorgeous.
Yeah, but it doesn't. In the end,
I know,
it
but I still
matter.
Like to see prettiness around
it's
me.
It's everywhere, darling. Look in the mirror. You don't need that. Ooh. You really don't. Honestly, it's going to do nothing but take you down. That's why when all the drama happened with Adore the first episode, and all the kids that I fight for every single day of my life were the first ones to come and attack me because I made their favorite queen cry. It made me go, oh God, you're not learning. You're not hearing what we're trying to do here.
Mm. Right.
This is a TV show. This is not real life.
Right.
What we're fighting for in real life is what you're doing here on social media.
No shit.
And it's not nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you don't need yourself surrounded by people like that. If somebody blocks you, have fun.
Can
have
I get
fun
an
with
amen?
Your life.
Amen.
Thank you. And the winner is you.
Oh, yay.
Thank you.
That's a good story, Kelly.
That was a good story.
But
that
was really good. I wish I had a better one. I thought I had I have some fucked up stories.
No,
but I was like, I didn't
want
to go for fucked up. So
next round.
You know, I've actually held on to that story for a while. I don't know why. We've done 60 episodes and I've held on to that one.
Feels good to release.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to round two. I got to tell you, I love my MeUndies. Every day I put them on, it's not just like putting on new underwear, it's like stepping into a better day. Think about it. Underwear is the first thing you put on and the last thing you take off.
Why would you settle for anything less than the best feeling underwear on the planet? Seriously, they're the most comfortable underwear I've ever worn, and I've worn a lot of underwear through the years. But when MeUndies sent me a few pairs, I switched to MeUndies for life. Try them on, and if they aren't the most comfortable, best feeling undies you've ever had, they'll refund you and let you keep the first pair free. They're sold exclusively on the MeUndies website, where you'll enjoy free shipping in the US and Canada. And now, for a limited time, all allegedly fans get 20% off their first order. So go to this special URL, MeUndies.com/Theo. That's MeUndies.com/Theo. With the MeUndies Better Day Guarantee, you got nothing to lose. Now back to the show.
This is our interview segment where we'll take turns asking you questions.
Oh.
And so.
I have so many.
Please.
Yeah, we have. We both, because we're both Uber fans.
Okay. I'll be the judge of that.
Of the show, but of you as well.
Oh,
and
go
one of the things that I'll just start with the first question is, I find it fascinating on the show, like, we don't know that much about you.
Uh-huh. Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How come that is, and does that bother you at all, that, like, there's not, like,
segments in the show where it's about you personally.
Well, I didn't even know you had daughter, you know, like, I didn't know this sort of stuff.
Well, it's not Michelle's Drag Race.
It's true.
It's RuPaul's Drag Race, and you don't really get to know much about Ru either, because it's really not about us.
It's true.
It's about the girls, and the young people, the ones that were attacking me with snake emojis. It is what it is. I was the new Taylor Swift for a day. It felt really good, actually.
So many tweets.
I just got a callus from my blocking finger. But for me, if people had followed me along my journey, now the kids don't know that I was a platinum recording artist and all that history, and that I was on VH1 with RuPaul on the RuPaul show, and that I was a VH1 VJ and things like that.
I've had a lovely day in my head.
It's
all
a great
day, by the way, because I was looking at the old videos.
Such a good video.
Oh my God, you were so
with
blonde.
Your blonde hair.
So blonde.
What goes through your mind when you watch that video?
It was beautiful. I looked beautiful. And Billy B, who had been my longtime makeup artist, did my makeup for that. And it was like his swan song. We always talk about that video. It's just a gorgeously shot video. It also cost way too much money to make it back then. Mm. And it was shot at the Shelbourne Hotel that was blasted by Hurricane, I want to say, Andrew in 1992.
Oh, it was like in Florida?
Jeez.
Yeah, it was in Florida. So we went there and it was like this rundown, blasted out old hotel. And that's where we did it. It was gorgeous. And the shot where I'm laying on the beach with the flowers, they put those flowers on one by one.
Oh,
and
goodness.
As it was happening, it was like 5 a.m. and Madonna jogged by. And what? Anybody that knows me knows that she's...
She's my idol,
idols, always has been. And they were like, don't move. But Madonna's jogging by. I'm like, I couldn't move because the flowers would have fallen off. But I wanted to scream, just freak out. And then that whole video was done. You know, you see the fish and everything swimming through it. And then somebody had said that she called our video director and said that she wanted to use him and the whole fish thing. And I was like, so for me, it was like a really big moment. It didn't happen, but
cool.
Whatever. So,
Have you met her since, by the way?
No, I don't want to meet her.
You don't want to meet her?
I don't want to meet her either because I've had experiences where
I
get so excited. And I don't know what... Dolly Parton is my, all-time idol.
I'm with you.
And the meet and greet, that she was just at the Hollywood Bowl. I just went and saw her.
But I heard she's amazing.
She's fucking amazing live. But my problem is, and I've heard she's really nice, right?
Very nice.
My problem is I know that whatever I would say would never encapsulate what I want to say. I'd rather just not be in the position to try and do that.
And she'll never live up to what you've created.
Exactly.
And Madonna will never live up in person. I have people that work for her that I know, and she'll never live up to what I've created in my mind, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But it happened once with my very first idol in the pop world. I had Broadway idols very early. Mm. My first pop idol was Belinda Carlisle. Like, the Go-Go's changed my life in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And when I was on the VH1 show, the RuPaul show on VH1 back in 96 and 97, she was a guest. And I literally vomited my whole life on her about how, and she was like, oh, and then walked away. Stevie Nicks did the same thing to me. So at that moment, I was nervous. Pat Benatar came on the show and she was delightful. Yeah. Thank God. She was the opposite, but I was nervous. So these were all idols of mine. But the ultimate idol in the pop world for me, and probably in all of my world, would be her. And I don't want to meet Madonna because it's going to ruin. I know it. It'll ruin everything that I have. And even Ru's like, don't do it. So to go back to that, there's a history there. And then I did 17 years in morning radio in different states. I did Los Angeles, New York, and Miami. The kids only know me now from being a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race and in the UK for being on Celebrity Big Brother. There's so much history. And my job, being an activist and an ally, is to educate people, not on my history, but in the history of the gay community and why it's so easy to come out and be gay now and all these things. So that's my goal in life. So I suggest that kids out there that want to know about me, do their history, do their homework, research. If you want to know about gay rights, it doesn't take much to Google Stonewall, Google the Compton Cafeteria, Upstairs Lounge. Like, there's certain things that they can do. Sylvia Rivera, Marsha P. Johnson. It's very, very easy. Just take maybe a half an hour out of your day and educate yourself. And they can do that about me. They can do that about Carson, Ross, Rue, anybody they want. So to answer your question, it's not Michelle's Drag Race. It's RuPaul's Drag Race. So that's why there's no need to have a segment on me. When my own show comes out, then they'll get to know me. But yes, I'm a mother to two teenage daughters and been married for almost 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's tough. I was married for about 6 and I think I went ahead and took the shit on that.
It is tough. It's tough.
Got divorced. Now I'm engaged.
Congratulations. So,
married for number 2.
And when are you going to get married?
June. Small. Second
June
wedding. 17th, I
Mine's
think.
Mine's the 20th.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's married in June.
June bride. Yeah.
My question is, how did you meet Rue? Did you know her from when you were really young?
Yes,
like,
yes.
For instance, we were just talking about the video you're in. Your makeup was fucking stunning.
Yeah.
And I was like, did you hang out with her when you were that age kind of thing?
No. Okay, so when I first met Rue, I was 17 years old. 17 or 18, I can't quite remember.
So you're a baby.
I was a baby. I moved to New York City to go to AMDA, American Musical Dramatic Academy. I'm a musical theater girl. And and I got into Tisch and I get into Mason Gross and all these schools. But I chose AMDA because it was a 2-year academy at the time. And I wanted to start auditioning right away.
Right.
Looking back, biggest mistake ever. Do really? Not ever do that. Yeah. Because having an education is everything. Like, I could have used a bachelor's to go on. And I only got an associate. So they gave you to have a bachelor's degree. Now, I'm really into holistic nutrition and I'm really into social working. So maybe I would have continued on to help LGBT youth. And so now I still want to do it, but I'm going to have to do one credit at a time. When I'm not traveling online, it's like a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And I have to finish up my bachelor's before I even go to an MSW or something. You know what I mean? So when I moved to New York City, it was solely to be an actor and a singer. And I had no friends. All my friends, I grew up in New Jersey. All my friends were in New Jersey and I was a club kid. So I would come home on the weekends by myself. And I was scared to death to even go a block because my mother's from Brooklyn. And she's like, you're going to get raped. You're going to get mugged. Do not go a block past your dorm. And my dorm was the Beacon Hotel. It was a hotel and then it was a dorm.
Awesome.
It's now a hotel again, connected to the Beacon Theater. So I literally... Or like I like to say now, instead of literally, I like to say lich. So I lich would walk one block across the street to school and then back to my dorm. So then my mother said, you're going to stop. By the way, this is all in my book called The Diva Rules, out now. She said, you're going to stop coming home on the weekends because your Jersey crew is going to do nothing for you.
Right.
You want to be an actor, you're going to go out and you're going to go meet places.
Well, you're going to meet so many fun people at like
Academy. Yeah, but when you're alone... You don't want to go to these clubs alone. You
no!
feel like a loser. So I begged my roommate, who was from Arizona, to come with me. So she was like, okay. My mother sent me a fake ID. It showed up at my dorm. She's like, you have no excuse because I never drank.
Wow.
So she wasn't worried I was going to be a teenage alcoholic. So she gave me the ID and I started. I lied. She gave me also with the fake ID because it looks so ridiculous because I was 18 years old. She also sent me a notarized birth certificate.
That's hysterical.
You have the coolest mom ever.
She was the bomb.
That's awesome.
So long story longer, I started going out to the clubs and that's where it all happened for me.
Yeah.
That's where I met the gays. That's where they took me in. That's where I met Suzanne Bartsch, who hired me to work for her as a voguer because I met these kids and I started voguing before Madonna, before Vogue.
Right.
And I started getting involved in the Harlem ballroom circuit.
Wow. Oh, like Paris is Burning.
Correct.
I
knew
Burning.
All those people.
Yeah.
So I was involved in that whole crew and from there I met Rue. So I would see Rue, it would see me. Rue was a way different Rue than he is today. And it would be like, hey. And so flash forward to 1992 when Lovely Day came out and Supermodel came out. And we were doing a new music or dance music expo in New York City. And we were in the green room together. And I was like, I don't know if you remember me. He's like, bitch, I've been watching you for years. You are a superstar. And I was like, you, me?
Well, me.
And that's kind of how it started. Then 1996, I was really I was going to either be a stripper or I was going to find another job because this auditioning wasn't working for me.
It's tough. Wow. Business.
Really tough.
Do you and Rue, you've known each other so long.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have a relationship just like any other relationship. Do you guys fight ever?
No. We had an argument once and I talked about it in the book and it was the worst time of my life because there was nowhere to go with it. I was doing radio in Florida and RuPaul's Drag Race had started and Rue, of course, had me in mind when he created the idea.
Because there was a different girl for the first three seasons.
It was Merle Ginsburg, who did a great job, but it wasn't me. Like, that was created with me in mind. And he called me to do it, and I had a boss who would not let me out of my deal, and I was 1 year into a five-year contract.
That sucks.
And I let me just preface this by saying I would leave in a heartbeat, but I'm the breadwinner. My husband's a stay-at-home dad.
Right.
So I had two kids who were in elementary school, and I had to pay the bills and a stay-at-home dad. Like, so what am I going to do? If I got out of that contract, they could have sued me for the 5 years worth of money.
Right.
So anyway, I tried whatever I could to get out of it, and I couldn't get out of it. And I didn't realize that the boss was homophobic until after, because when I asked to do it, he was like, well, I don't think it's going to be a good image for the station. I was like, image.
Oh, so you wanted to do both. And
I wanted
he was basically
to just,
like, no, you can't do both. And then you come to find out later it's because he didn't like the content.
Correct. Season one was shot in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
All I needed was 3 weeks off. And when I told him what it was about, he was like,
that's when
I found out. So I couldn't quit. I would have lost everything, and I was stuck in this job. So every time that boss asked me to do something, I would say no. Like, I literally did my job. I did my job and then would leave. So that's all that I did, and that's all that I would focus on. So at that point, I had to watch my best friend, and I had to call him and say that I can't do it. Aww. And he was really mad. He was upset. We've never really fought. It was just a tension of, I'm sorry I couldn't be there and you let me down.
You never like got into it where you screamed and yelled at each other? Because I got into one fight with my best friend Josh, and I'll never forget it. He called me a back alley slut in a bar once, and I was like, I still remember.
Yeah, why don't
like,
you
it was
own
yesterday.
It? I would own a back alley slut.
Oh no, he meant it in a negative way. I was cock blocking him big time. Oh. And he's just like, get out of here. And we got in this huge fight.
You're
I'm like, I've never forgiven him. I'm like, you call me a back alley slut.
A BAS, you're a
bass. I don't know, I own that moniker.
Okay.
But no, we've never fought. Just
I want some tea on a couple things. Okay. One, how long does Rue make you wait before Rue comes out, before the queens come out and do the show?
Well, he doesn't make us wait. We have a time that we have to be ready by.
Okay.
We all wait. We all sit down, and then he comes out on the main stage.
And it just happens like that?
Yeah.
Oh, no diva.
Only if something goes wrong, like, but it's not usually with Rue. It's usually with, there's a good juicy story happening in the workroom.
Mm.
So that's when we'll wait.
Got it.
Because they get extra. Yes.
Okay.
He doesn't. He's got the strongest work ethic. I model myself after him, and he is always early, and no. He's not a diva at all.
Mom. Okay, number two is, do you have a favorite?
Queen?
Of all the seasons, and at least.
My favorite is RuPaul Andre Charles. Uh-huh. And if you're asking me to pick, and I get this question all the time. Now, I'm not saying you're not creative, but yes. I do get this question all the time. And I'm a mother to two girls.
Right.
And think of Meryl Streep and Sophie's Choice. At the end of the day, I do know all of them. Mm. You can't say, which one do you like better? I know my children.
Right.
I can't tell you which child. Honestly,
it changes. I'm sure it changes like day to day. I'm sure it changes.
There's some that I'm closer with just because I'm closer with them.
Right.
I've spent more time with them.
Mm-hmm.
I've spent time with some that I'm not close with. You know what I mean?
Do you have a look that you really like? Like, what I've noticed in the past few seasons is it's almost changing from the traditional, like, pageant kind of queen, like a Roxy this season or a Alyssa to something that's more kind of artsy and androgynous and less female impersonation. So like a Detox or a Bob the Drag Queen. It was like less female impersonation and more like androgynous.
Well,
body
I disagree.
Art.
I think Bob and Detox are very female illusion. I think they give it all the way. I think somebody who would be more androgynous would be like Max or Milk. Somebody like that would be more androgynous. And the thing is, RuPaul started out kind of androgynous drag. So for me, I don't have a favorite. I think people like to say, you only like the pretty girls, and that's so, it couldn't be further from the truth, because I was raised in a community of weirdos in New York City, and drag was never polished in New York. It was always kind of messy and ratchet, and that was what I grew up with, and that's what I love, which is still what I love about London drag, because that still exists, and in New York City, it still exists. And it might come across as harsh, might come across as bitchy, but it's not. It's really out of love for me wanting them to get the most out of their career that they're ever going to get. If Rue wasn't pushed and Rue didn't push himself, he wouldn't be here 30 years later.
Yeah.
It's
and
because
drag's a tough career.
Drag's
tough. It's
Do
tough
you disagree road. With some of Rue's decisions?
Never.
Never.
I have never had a time where I looked at him and went,
really? Yeah.
Never.
What did you think of this year's the way that the way the vote, not voting, but
I loved it.
You
I
did.
Lip sync
really?
For your life, because it used to be that they would lip sync for their life and then the person who won
the legacy.
Yeah.
Now,
lip sync for your life.
But now it's more like it's a little more Survivor.
I love it.
Really?
Yeah, but this is All Stars. If we do the same thing, this
that's
gives
true.
The power to the queens. And yes, we but could lose ones that we're not. But that's the name of the game, honey. Somebody's got to go. If it were me, I'm going to vote off my competition. So yeah. I think those girls played it really, really well.
I was going to say, I think we all know what you're referring to. Like, Roxy's been in the bottom a million times.
I don't care.
I happen to think Roxy
is amazing. Mm. Yes, she's been in the bottom, but she has delivered consistently. You have to understand, and I'm not defending her. I'm saying I know why she's standing there. Yes, she has friends in them, and yes, they may have saved her, but Roxy is a fierce queen, and to say she's not is not fair. Alyssa is amazing.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen her in the final four too. Yeah. I know a lot of people don't, but I like the way we did it this time because it's something different.
It's a good twist, yeah.
It's a gaggy twist. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, and you good people, look at, you know, good people did go home.
So you kind of referenced it before, like you've been around in this business for a while.
Yeah.
You've seen a lot of stars and stuff. So I just told like a Hollywood story of something that's happened to me. Anything pop in your head as like your ideal Hollywood story?
I don't have a Hollywood story because I'm just a regular kid from New Jersey. Like, I didn't have any magical moments.
Well, you had your kids younger, right?
No, I had my kids when I was 31 and 33. I'm 48.
Shit. But you know what? In Hollywood these days, like my stepkids, when I go to their school, like moms are 55 with 8-year-olds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So 31 and 32 is relatively young these
I guess.
Days.
There had to have been a moment where you're sitting doing coke with Woody Harrelson.
I've never done
like
a drug in my life.
I've never drank.
So for me, like,
You've never drank?
No, okay, when I say never drank, meaning I've gotten drunk maybe 4 or 5 times in my life. And the last alcoholic drink that I've ever had, I was 21.
Okay.
Shit.
So I just don't drink. I'm a Virgo. It's a control thing.
Me too.
Yeah, I can't not be in control. It's just also I'm really career hungry and always have been. And the reason I think I'm still standing is because I've abstained. So we toured with Milli Vanilli for 9 months or 8 months, however long it was. There were drugs in front of my face every single minute of every single day. And I didn't do
any of
Did you know you toured
with Milli Vanilli? Did you know what they were doing?
No clue.
You had no clue?
No, here's the thing. Nobody sang back then. We didn't lip sync, but we sang over our track because we sang our vocals on the record, so we sang live.
Right.
But everybody back then, Janet Jackson, Madonna, New Kids on the Block, nobody sang live because you were always doing so many dance routines. It just is not physically possible. Even now, when you go see the greatest of the great, Madonna will sing live, but there's also vocals in those tracks.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just saw Beyonce, and I know there were vocals in her track. She sang live. Some of it was live, but...
Everybody, even the greatest singers do that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if Dolly Parton didn't do it.
Dolly won't do it, but I think you'd be surprised.
So you were never like backstage where they said play? And
so what I'm telling you is, we did
but
too.
But that was the norm.
Everybody did. Yeah. What we didn't, we knew they were lip syncing. Right. I had an affair with Fabrice for the whole tour.
Whoa.
He's
nice.
He's still alive.
He's good looking.
He's amazing and a sweetheart, and we're still friends. He's a doll. Just had another baby. He's amazing. Lives in Amsterdam. Happy life. But the point is, we didn't know that they didn't sing it on the record. We knew that they weren't singing it live.
So they never told you that?
No, he never told me that.
Even hanging out backstage after, they were never just like, I got to tell you this secret?
No, never.
And then when you found out, were you surprised?
I was just like, I can't believe this.
Wow.
But I can believe this, if that makes sense.
Wow.
I'm so I wouldn't be surprised if it happened again, by the way.
Oh,
they'd just be better at it.
Yeah, I don't know if it would. It was just so obvious. But you got to think about it, guys. It does happen. There's I'm just not going to name names, but there's some huge pop stars that have ghost vocalists.
Yeah. Crazy. Well, and so you said you were friends with Leah Remini. She's one of your best friends.
Yes.
And this might be a weird question to ask, but that's being close to Scientology. I know she's very against
it. Oh, no, I'll talk openly about it.
What has been your experience with it?
I actually, when I first met Leah, it was she was on King of Queens and I was doing radio in New York and she came to town to do a radio roundtable, you know, where everybody goes in and you do all the interviews and she hates life. And she was actually amazing with me and my partner in New York.
She's really cool.
So she came and we it was Litch, love at first sight. And we have been together ever since, and that was 2002, and I just gave birth to my baby. She was a month old, and we've been inseparable ever since. So when I first met her, I had read so much over the years about Scientology in New York. What is
she was
Scientology
the face of it
thing?
In a lot of ways.
She was.
She was a female face for sure.
No. So I asked her, and she said, "Listen, I'll tell you whatever you want to know, but if you'd want to know about Catholicism, go to the church."
Right.
So she said, "Go to the church and find out." So I went and I took a few courses. And I am going to say this, the entry level courses that they suck you in on are really good.
Yeah.
And I still use some of the things I learned to this day.
Yeah, they're just like life methods.
They're common sense.
Common
right?
sense approach.
It's when you start getting in deeper, where you start laying out the big bucks, where they start knocking on your door and pulling you in, that things start going, "Hold on a minute.
What was your breaking point with it then?
When I finished 4 entry-level courses and the next course was like a $2,000 course and I just had a baby and I worked in morning radio and my name wasn't Ryan Seacrest.
Right.
So I wasn't pulling in a whole bunch of money. And again, I'm the sole provider for my family, so I couldn't do it. And they had said to me, well, borrow a credit card. And I was like, no.
Oh, they were encouraging to find the money, basically.
Find the money because it's necessary to go on with my life. And they said, well, when Jenna Elfman wanted to go clear, going clear is a big thing in Scientology. Right. She borrowed a friend's credit card. And I said, I'm really happy for Jenna Elfman. I'm happy that she's clear, but I am not going to borrow any money from anybody. And I didn't think they were happy with the way that I was approaching everything. So then I kind of pulled back. And Leah was fine with it, you know. Her mother would kind of say, when are you going back on course? And I'd say, when it doesn't cost me $3,000, you know.
Right.
And when I moved back to New York City to do radio in 2005, I went back on course and I started again on another entry level course that was like more like $300 instead of $3,000.
Much more reasonable.
Yeah. And then when that ended and that I did everything there was left to do. That's when they started knocking and I was like, no, stop calling.
Coming to your house and stuff.
And then it was not on the door, but it was constant calling, constant letters. And I was like, stop, I'll tell you when. And I had to get like really vocal about it. And I told Leah and I told her mother and they were whatever. They're like, fine. That, you know, they're not pushing. Leah did not give a shit.
Yeah.
Her mother was the one who was kind of holding my hand saying you could do this. And I was like, I don't want to.
Don't want to. Yeah.
And then when Leah made the decision, when she told me, I said, I'll stand by you 100% because her life is not about a religion. Her life is about happiness and finding peace within herself. And I thought it was really brave of her to write that book. Mm-hmm. And her story is 100% true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I know her. I know her journey. It's 100% true. So I stand behind her all the way. And it wasn't for me. And I have to tell you what, knowing her from then and knowing her now, she is a much better person in every aspect now.
Since she's left it?
100%.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Much more open-minded. Like she never would have done Dancing with the Stars and something she always wanted to do. So when finally she
I've
left.
I've always heard that Scientology was really anti-gay too.
It's extremely anti-gay.
Well, that must have been difficult for you.
Well, I didn't realize it until I got back to New York and did that tone. It's called a tone scale course. When I did it, they group people by number. So like the lower your tone scale is, the worse you are. And like gays were really down at the bottom.
Wow.
And I literally went, this is not right for me.
That's not cool.
Right. That's never going to work.
So
you're never going to convince
me. No, I left. I left at that point when
so
I realized.
You don't have to comment. We can just comment. But so like John Travolta or something like that, it's just about covering that up.
Yeah. Well, he's given so much. First of all, he'll never come out.
No.
But he doesn't have to.
No.
So with that.
But my question was, how do they accept him?
I'll tell you, there's a moral responsibility, I think, being a gay person in the limelight, because you can help save lives by coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I would never push somebody out of the closet. I feel that it's their option or responsibility to do what they do with it. And I feel like if you're not ready to come out for whatever reasons, then I'm going to respect that. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to force somebody out. And John, his you know, escapades have been front page. So this is not something that can't be talked about. But I will say that I think he's given so much money and so much loyalty over the years that they accept what's happening there because he lives as a heterosexual man in the limelight.
Do they do Pray the Gay Away? Do they do Pray the Gay Away in Scientology?
I didn't get that far to know because I quit really early on.
Mike Pence is a Pray the Gay Away kind of guy.
Well, and that leads me to, because we have to wrap this round up.
Oh my God, I know we could talk for 2 hours.
But
I know,
leads me to my last question, which is I've seen your
Twitter.
Were
we even in a question at this point?
Yeah, we're just kind of going for sure. I've seen your Twitter. You are not a Trump fan. And as someone
very few people are, I swear.
Someone
I call liberal Twitter.
An ally, and that is kind of a title that you have.
Yes.
What do you think will happen to the world if, in the small, and specifically to gay, transgender women, if Trump.
I know that he's not going to become president, but the fear is real. And I worry. I mean, I worry now for our trans youth and our trans people that are out there. People are not even seeing how many trans people get killed every single day. And I think that what's sad about it, and I'm not trying to bring this down, but what's sad about it is to the most people in the world, trans people don't matter. They're a joke. They're laughed at. They're not taken seriously. Gendered wrong. Called the wrong pronouns. Simple things that you can do by not disrespecting somebody. And then the murders that are continuously happening is just a blatant disregard for human life, no matter what gender they are. And I was talking to Our Lady J, who is an amazing musician, and she's also part of Transparent. And, you know, it's kind of this new movement of, you know, we're getting into more gender acceptance and gender equality and people accepting trans people more and more. I mean, we're, you know, down here. Yeah. We've got so far to go. It's still not even, to use the word acceptance, is not even really right. But she was saying, you know, we got to kind of open the dialogue, because I think people just want to focus on genitals all the time.
Right.
And a lot of trans women especially get upset when they just focus on genitals. And Jay was saying, if we take the stigma off of it, maybe it wouldn't be such a big deal. Maybe if we said sometimes girls just have penises and that's just the way it is.
Right.
People wouldn't, first question wouldn't always be, do you still have your penis? Because it's really not relevant.
When Caitlyn Jenner came out, that was the first thing he said. Did she have the surgery yet? Did she have the surgery? Which, by the way, supports Donald Trump. Has openly supported Donald Trump in the past. I don't know if still does support Donald Trump, but she was on her show talking about how great Donald Trump was.
But it's also confusing for her.
Yeah,
I believe. But at the same time,
we don't know.
No,
I wouldn't understand.
But I think it's important for people to know that. Listen, I don't know how many hetero people listen, but you know, it's important to realize that a penis does not make a man, a vagina, or, you know, a man, a woman, vice versa, whatever, you know, it's who the people are internally that speaks volumes. And who are we to take away that from them? Because the way they live their lives has nothing to do with the way we live ours.
Right. And you think Donald Trump would actually take that away?
Yes, I do. I believe.
I think it would.
You think he would make anti-gay laws?
I think he'd try to repeal, or he'd try to enact.
Gay marriage and stuff?
I don't know if he'd be able to overturn that, but he would do certain, like this HB2 bill in North Carolina has got to be stopped. Mm-hmm. What people don't understand is trans people have been using bathrooms way before this bill ever existed.
Right.
And if these are the same people that are using bathrooms, that are him using locker rooms, who's worse here? His talk has been worse against women than any trans person could ever be. Yeah.
I honestly think it'll be like, he would enact the purge.
Yes.
Like he would would be like,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Let's do the purge, but only gays and women. You know, all right. So that's the end of round two.
I can go on that forever, and it's kind. You get the point.
Pick a winner of that round.
I don't even remember the fucking question.
Don't pick a winner. Let's tie.
We can tie.
Can we call a draw?
We can call a draw and take it to the third round. How's that?
Go.
Have you bought your MeUndies yet? Why not? They're the most comfortable underwear around. In fact, I'm wearing mine right now. They just make the day feel better. The secret to MeUndies is called Modal, a special fabric made with the best-in-class raw materials that are scientifically proven to be 3 times softer than cotton. Now that's soft. For the price of 2 cocktails, MeUndies will deliver your new favorite pair of underwear right to your doorstep. Better day guaranteed. They're sold exclusively on the MeUndies website, where you'll enjoy free shipping in the US and Canada. And now for a limited time, all Allegedly fans get 20% off their first order. So go to this special URL, MeUndies.com/Theo. MeUndies.com/Theo. With the MeUndies Better Day Guarantee, you got nothing to lose, so don't wait any longer. That's MeUndies.com/Theo for 20% off your first order. Now on to round three.
So our third round is a mini competition based on you. So you are a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race, and you see, why can't I pronounce that? And you
RuPaul's
see drag
race.
Show off.
You see queens all the time, and a lot of them have very creative names. So Kelly and I each came up with 5 names that if we were to do drag, what our name would be.
Okay. And it's not like the dog and the whatever that they always say.
Oh, yeah,
it's
because we put that into the, they have like a generator.
A generator.
And so in the generator, my name would be Janice Boom Boom. And
that's kind of cute.
That's cute.
And mine was Dee Dee Fairmount.
I like that. Sounds
hers
classy.
Was Arugula Monroe.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to be called Arugula.
Yeah,
I
nobody.
Know. I'd be a funny one.
So these are, we'll go one.
You guys chose them?
No, I made them up.
You made them up. That's what I mean. You made them up.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to go first because you are Jewish, correct?
I am adopted into a Jewish family. So subculturally, I'm Jewish, but by birth, I'm Irish, Hungarian, Catholic, Italian.
So my first name would be Alana Lishabeach.
Oh, I love. Are you Jewish?
Yes, I'm Jewish.
You said it perfectly. Did you fast?
Oh my God, you're a bad Jew.
I fasted.
I didn't say I was a good Jew.
Alana Lishabeach.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
It's amazing.
It's a prayer. It's like a line in one of the prayers of Jewish prayer.
Your drag name would be a prayer?
Yeah, but it would be funny because it's Alana.
It's a line.
Alana, whatever.
Right.
Okay.
I'm going to pick one. I did this with my fiance last night, but I love this one. He wasn't a fan of it.
Do you love saying fiance?
I don't really care.
Okay, go.
It's easier than boyfriend. All right. I like this one. Viral chlamydia. Like viral video.
Viral chlamydia.
Viral chlamydia. No. And it's a virus. And...
I get it.
I like
it's
it.
Dirty. It's dark.
It's dirty.
Dark.
I like dirty, though.
Yeah, I like dirty, too. All right, my number two is Alexis Convertible.
Alexa. Ah, that's
Alexa's
cute.
Convertible. Oh, that one's good.
That's okay. Cute. Okay.
I'll do mine that's kind of like that. Prolapse and Judgment. Yes! That's a good one!
Mine except like your really first dark. Name would have to be Prolapse.
Yes!
And in prolapse? The gay community,
yeah, that's
not a good thing. Yeah.
All right, this one's really simple. Jean Jacket.
Jean Jacket!
I think that would be great. Jean
that
Jacket.
That is cute!
Yeah, that's cute.
Oh, I have a simple one too. Amber Alert.
Yeah, yeah.
There is.
I was going to say that's got to be taken.
There is.
This is my favorite that I came up with. It's not PC by any means.
Okay.
But Frida Slaves.
Oh my god. You can't do that.
You can't
that
do that one. No?
No, that's not going to look right on
slave?
A sign.
Oh, okay.
Because they're already freed.
Yeah, okay, but that's
that's no, that you can't
I thought you
do
were
going to
be like, what? Seriously? No, what? Huh? My last
it's
one is.
It's funny, though.
It is funny. It's you have fun. To have a sense of humor.
Frida Slaves.
There's sorry, a queen in Chicago named Frida Lay.
Okay, yeah. There you all go.
Right. Mine, then I thought was funny, was Carry Me Home.
Oh, cute. That's good.
Cute.
That's very good.
Yes.
And then my last one is I'm just going to go with Mary, Queen of Sluts. That's what.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. That one'd be good if you had like some religious kind of undertone where you came out with a nun every time or as a nun every time.
Yes. That was my like, you know, normal, like not play on words sort of thing.
Yeah, that's Mary, amazing.
All right. So you got to pick a winner. This
I
is
do?
The winner of the ultimate podcast.
What do you mean? I
got to
pick a winner between you two?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
You can base it on the names. You can base it on anything you want.
Those names, his names are really good, Kelly.
I know.
So what are you saying?
He definitely won the name round.
And so.
So that means you won the whole thing because it was a draw. And I'm all about girl power, Kel. I am. But I gotta call it what it is.
I love viral chlamydia.
I do,
no
too.
No one gets it.
No, I get it because it's viral
it.
And it's a virus.
I know,
and viral
I know
video.
But nobody liked it. I really liked
it's
it.
It's a stretch.
I thought I was on to something there.
You were.
Video.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, so thank you very much for the win. And thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for
so
having me.
So your book is out.
My book is out. The Diva Rules. You can get that on Amazon. I'm sure it's half price at this point. You can go ahead and get that. Of course, RuPaul's Drag Race and our podcast, What's the Tea?
Yeah, What's the Tea?
Yeah.
Question. So is RuPaul, like, there's going to be more, yeah?
More what?
Drag
Race?
Yeah.
Oh, we've already shot season 9, darling.
Really?
Wow. She's in the tank. Yeah.
She wow. just won an Emmy. She's got it.
Can you give us any?
I
what can we
you
expect?
A zero.
What can we expect? Is it going to
really
be
really good?
It's really good.
There's so many surprises, so many twists. Like, you know, we're on season 9. It's time to fuck shit up. Like, you can't. What happens is you get complacent,
right.
And that's like the devil. You can't do that. Complacency is a very bad thing in television. And I love Switch. That's why when a lot of bitches were complaining about this twist in All Stars, I'm telling you, it's what we needed. If we were to do it the same way, y'all would have complained
that's
about
true.
That.
Especially when it's All Stars and they're coming back. We've already seen their stories.
That's it. Like, that's you true. Know what's going on. Now it's time to get competitive. And you saw it. You saw it when they sent Alyssa home.
Yep.
You saw it when Tatiana went home. Mm-hmm. You saw it. Because that top four is totally different than I would have imagined.
Oh, yeah.
So we can expect some twists and turns.
Oh,
more twists
yes.
and turns coming. Ooh.
Yes.
And when is that? Do you know when it premieres?
Next year.
Next year. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm excited. And
so excited.
I honestly thank you from my little... from seeing you in person to getting
so
you here
sweet.
Right now. It means a lot. And Kelly, thank you for filling
thank
in today.
Thank you so much,
Kelly.
I hope you had fun. And
I did. I was so nervous. I think I got nervous. And I don't
really?
Usually get nervous. I got so nervous.
Yeah, we've met tons of huge celebrities together. And she was nervous. She was
I
nervous.
Was,
I'm
was
mean,
nervous.
But I only play a mean girl on TV.
I'm mean as shit.
Good
so,
girl.
But
yay.
Like, I think I got intimidated. Really? I think I got intimidated.
Never.
Well,
never.
It was awesome. And so, everybody, thank you for listening. And we'll hear it. We'll talk to you next time on Allegedly.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye. Bye.